Good morning. Glad to see everybody here on this beautiful Sunday morning. And being that Luke is out doing some work for Camp Carmel, some other churches, and Randy Riggle's not here, that leaves, I'm one of the few. So I'm usually back there behind the camera or behind the sound system, but today I'm here, so try to bear with me. Anyway, so we do have some announcements. Basically, our announcements are we're going to, that I know of, we will be having veterans practice Thursday night, 7 o'clock here at church. We had one last week. That is for the next week, next Sunday, we're going to have our annual Memorial Day service at the cemetery here. And normally, we just have an abbreviated service here, and then we go outside and decorate the graves. So bring flowers. If you can, any cut flowers or find some along, or your neighbors or somebody, cut some flowers and bring them in, and we'll decorate the graves. And then we have our veterans. I have some volunteers, and we have our own group now. So fortunately, we'll be able to do our Veterans Day practice with taps and so on. So that's next week, so keep that in mind. And also, these mugs here, for our 250th anniversary, we're celebrating in September. But leading up to that, we've been doing a year-long celebration of things going on at the church for the last 250 years. And these are for sale for $15. It just pretty much covers the cost that it cost us. We're really not making much on it, but they're $15 per cup. Is there any other announcements anybody has that I missed or forgot about that needs to be addressed for this week? Nobody. Okay, then we are having, after this service right now, Memory Chapel, little church in Vanceville, PA, is having a Founders Day. That's today. It was 50 years since it was established, correct? And Dave Hall is our speaker today. He's tied with, he is actually the pastor at Memory Chapel at this time. So, the founder, Arlie Kale, and his wife are buried up here in our cemetery. There's a connection. So we're going to have a little thing outside afterwards. If you want to attend, that'd be fine. But it's sort of tied to the Memory Chapel at Vanceville. I'll tell you a little bit of history. Some of you would be bored with this, but anyway, I have the connection. I have a sort of a connection between the two churches. But my grandmother and grandfather were longtime members here, John and Cora Fulton, and they're buried up here. And they had three daughters, or two sons, three daughters. Their oldest daughter is Estella Ewing, and my mother, Betty Gatton, and Cora Sproles, the other girl. And I know the Halls know them from Presbyterian Church in Bentleyville. But anyway, Betty and Ernie got married, and Ernie is originally, well, let's go back to my grandparents on my father's side. My father's side is Bert and Lucy Gatton from, they ended up their later in their life were in Deemston, but they actually spent most of their time in Clover Hill, a little town between Bentleyville and California, PA. Not too many people know about it, but it's about 3 miles out of Bentleyville. That's where they were from. And my father and their family belonged to the Church of Christ at Lover. That was the where they belonged for all their life. They went to, anyway, back in the 30s or late 30s, early 40s, I'm not sure the date, but anyway, they decided that they needed to expand. They needed more room. So there was people from the Vanceville area that attended there, and they offered some ground to build a church. So they built the Memory Chapel. The McDonough family owned the farm there, and they took a little corner of the farm and they established a church. And that was going on till the early 50s, if I believe so. And they sort of, I don't know, fell away, or a lot of them, this after years, they decided they could either go to Lover or they'd go to Washington, PA, and they really didn't need the building. So the building was sort of abandoned. I can remember growing up driving past, and it was an empty church. And I always felt kind of bad that there was an empty church there. Now comes Arlie Kale, the founder of the church. He was established sort of through this church. He was a friend of Bill Harper. Bill Harper was our pastor for 40-some years. And Bill worked with him to become a ordained pastor. So that's how that came about. And so he was ordained. And then he did speaking engagements. And I remember from probably the first time I can remember at this church, we didn't attend here regularly when I lived at Clover Hill because of the distance and so on. So we didn't attend here regularly till I was like sixth grade. So in the meantime, I knew of the church and also of the farm where I live now, because that's where my grandparents grew up, and we moved there when I was in sixth grade. So that put us closer to North 10 Mile. Anyway, I was sitting in one of these seats here, I believe, one of these seats, and Arlie Kale was filling in on that Sunday for Bill Harper. He was probably on vacation. I'm not sure why I was here, but I remember very well. He was doing a children's message, and it was about, he was talking about bees, honeybees, and how if one stings you, they die, the little bee dies. And it just hit me. I was, 4 years old. I was really, but I remember Arlie from that, and Arlie's daughter was in my class in high school, actually, Becky. And that's sort of my memory of Arlie Kale. I know he had an excavating business, construction business, and he also preached on the side. Well, he found that church at Vanceville was open, and he took it on himself with a bunch of other families together to build a community church and establish the Memory Chapel. So that's what it's all about. I'm not going to read this. I'll put this on the bulletin board, but it's a little thing about the Founders Day, and I sort of tied it together with how our church is associated with Memory Chapel from years back. So anyway, enough of that. Okay, we'll go with... we'll start with our hymn. David, you want to go ahead and lead the songs, or you offered to do it? I'll let you do it. So anyway, we're going to sing if you'll stand, we'll sing number 320. Number 320.
Thank you, Ralph.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's always interesting to hear the history and all of the connections that are made, and to find someone who knows something of the history of Memory Chapel and the connection that it has to North 10 Mile. Number 320, Jesus, name above all names. We'll sing it through twice. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. While I have them standing, do you mind if I do the call to worship with them?
Go ahead.
Okay, we're already standing for God's Word. This morning it comes to us from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There is an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing, a time to search and a time to count as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
At this time, we can go ahead and greet your neighbor. We started a few weeks ago after COVID, so once again, we're
Greet your neighbor and find out who they are. Find our way back to our seats. Number 295. All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'll sing his praises, and I'll reign with him throughout eternity.
Let us pray. Our Father, we give thanks that we have a King Jesus. It's by your grace you stooped down. You sent your Son to redeem your creatures who were lost, slaves of sin. We have a King Jesus who is at the right hand, your right hand, Father. And we will indeed rule and reign with him if we have placed our faith, our trust, our confident hope in him. We thank you for our King. We thank you for the church that you have founded upon the teaching of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Father, you've called us together in one body in Christ Jesus, and you've made us to partake of one spirit, brothers and sisters of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. We pray that today you will bless our time together in worship and the word, that we would honor you with the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts, that we would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy the fellowship of the Spirit that you've freely given to all who call upon your name through him. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated.
Okay, at this time, we have the ushers. We'll have our offering. Thank you.
Please rise for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Lord, we just thank you today for this offering that brought forward. We ask, Lord, for it to be the upbuilding for your wonderful kingdom. We thank you, Lord, so much for the offering that's been presented today. In Jesus Christ, we so thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. At this time, we'll have our verse of the month. And Joyce, would you come up? And we're going to do our verse of the month.
I am sorry that I did not get to share the verse the first Sunday. But you probably already know the verse by now. But I thank you for letting me share it in song with you today. It has a similar tune and to the song, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And so the verse is in the bulletin and it's in two lines. And if everybody would join me, I would love it. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 30:21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Thank you.
Thank you, boys. Okay, we have special praises or prayers today? Anything on your hearts that needs to be addressed, Mary?
Sean has an MRI Tuesday for his back and shoulder.
Okay. Donna?
Barry Ely will have a inspector put in on Wednesday, and Norman is not doing well. He's not feeling well.
Okay. We should repeat these. Sean Dobich is having an MRI on what day was it? Tuesday. And then Barry Ely is having a pacemaker on Wednesday. So the doctors are being busy. Anything else? Okay, if you heard that, Romaine Sanders had a heart attack, but she had some treatments, had a test done, and everything has proved to be positive so far, and she's home. So anyway, that's good news. But anyway, we'll keep her on our prayer list. That's Romaine. Any others? Of course, we have a whole list of things, of people that need our prayers, so just keep them in mind. And if there's any others, but at this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, well, let's go to silent prayer, and then I'll finish with a few words. Lord, once again, we just are thankful that we're able to be here to worship with you this Sunday, and you've given us so much, Lord, and so much more than any of us deserve, and we just are very thankful for that. And once again, we have trials and tribulations on this earth, and we're living with problems of health problems, and of course, we mentioned that Sean's having the MRI, and Barry's having a pacemaker. Romaine has had some tests, and also that turned out to be very good news, but we do keep them all on our prayer as they're going to have future treatments or testing or whatever it is entailed there, and we just pray that you lay your hands on them and give them the doctors the wisdom that they need to give them the treatments that they need to return them to full health. And Lord, we just are thankful for just so much that you've given us. We have the whole community needs your help, Lord. And we have I belong to the Gideons, Lord, and we're always out trying to pass the word to the population of the area, that we call it the population or the people living in the area that may not know you, Lord, and we just pray that the Gideons can put the word in their hands and maybe some turn them to you, Lord, and have eternal life. They may not have ever thought too much about you, Lord, and we just pray that somehow we can meet their expectations and that they'll start to maybe study the word and then come to you, Lord, and maybe start to attend one of the churches in the area and become workers for you, Lord. That's why we are here, to spread the gospel throughout the world. So, Lord, once again, you've given us so much we are thankful for, and we have coming up next week, we have our United States, we have our Memorial Day. We want to remember all those people that served this nation, people that gave their life for this nation and for the freedoms we have. And we just pray that we can keep those freedoms. And Lord, just once again, thank you for everything. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, at this time, we're going to have our next hymn. Our next hymn is 448. So if you'll stand, and we'll sing number 448.
Number 448, Before the Throne of God Above. Would you stand together with me as we sing?
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is Love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness. The great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Amen. Now, as you take your seats, I'm going to ask any who have served in the armed forces, please remain standing. The rest of us, we'll take our seats. But if you have served our nation in the armed forces, this weekend was Armed Forces Day, a holiday to celebrate all those who have served. So if you've served, we want to give our thanks to you. Thank you for serving our nation. Thank you. And you may be seated. I've been up here doing stuff, and some of you don't even know who I am. Let's fix that right now. For those of you who I've not had the pleasure of meeting, I'm Pastor David from Memory Chapel on Vanceville Road in 84. You heard a little bit of the history of that from Ralph just a little bit ago. I'm excited to be here today for a number of reasons. The first is that I get the privilege of sharing God's word with you all, and that's a privilege I don't take lightly. Second is that for me and my wife, Valerie, North 10 Mile Baptist has a very special place in our hearts. Nearly 22 years ago, North 10 Mile gave us our first taste of pastoral ministry when we were called to serve the youth of this church. Some of our best memories, the best memories of our lives, and there are a lot of them, are tied up right here with you all. The third reason I'm excited is that the church that I serve, Memory Chapel, has a special connection to North 10 Mile Baptist Church, a connection that a lot of folks do not know, or it's been forgotten. 51 years ago, the late Reverend Arlie Kale, a son of North 10 Mile Baptist, who was ordained by Bill Harper to preach the gospel, Arlie founded Memory Chapel. He's currently laid to rest with his wife, Sarah, up in our cemetery here. He was called to start the ministry of Memory Chapel. His sister, Betty, much younger than him, she's still with us today. She's a faithful member out at Memory Chapel. She told me, she said, when I was a little girl, my mom died of cancer. But before she died, I remember she was so concerned about Arlie. He was in his teens, and she was just so afraid that life would take him the wrong direction. But then what a joy it was to find out that he got involved with North 10 Mile Baptist Church. He got saved. And then he became a faithful servant of the Lord, serving God's people through his connection with North 10 Mile Baptist. And that's a treasure. That's something to hold on to. And we actually have Arlie and Sarah's daughter, Joyce, with us here today. She's wearing the blue coat back here. And she brought her husband and her son, Skip and Clark. She brought them along with her today. So like we said, after today's service, we are going to be heading up to the cemetery to decorate the grave of Arlie and Sarah and to just spend some time reflecting upon the Lord's provision for his people in the founding of our church, Memory Chapel. But all of you are invited. If you don't have anything else to do, please join us up at the cemetery. We won't be there but 10 minutes, just a brief time to reflect and to pray, to thank the Lord. So you're more than welcome to attend. We have a lot of memories, as you can tell by this brief talk, a lot of memories tied up with this place. Personal memories for me and my family, and the largely forgotten memory of a special connection between North 10 Mile and Memory Chapel. But speaking of memories, I'm not on social media myself, but my family is, and I've shared their amazement at something that we find to be quite remarkable. It's happened often that one of my kids will come up to me and say, "Dad, look at this. Facebook showed me a memory." Y'all know what that is? A Facebook memory. Facebook will show you something that you had posted on this very date, 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 5, 10, however many years ago. That's what a Facebook memory is. So they'll say, "Facebook showed me a memory from 4 years ago. And guess what? I was wearing the same exact outfit that I'm wearing today that I haven't worn in I don't know how long." Or it'll be, "I was doing the same exact thing," or "I was going to the same exact place," or whatever it is that they haven't done in how long, goodness knows, but it was exactly 4 years ago today, and here they are again today doing the same exact thing. That's pretty weird, isn't it? Have any of you experienced that sort of thing? By your laughter, I think you have, at least some of you. It makes me wonder how that kind of thing happens, and we just don't recognize it. If it weren't for social media throwing those memories at us, I'm sure we probably wouldn't even notice that those things are lining up. Why is it that certain things line up at certain times like that? Now, no doubt there's a lot of factors that go into it, but it does make me think of that passage that we read earlier in our call to worship from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There really is a time, a right time for everything. Today, I'd like to take that idea about there being a right time for things and share three things that we find a right time for in the Word of God. The first is a time to be renewed. A time to be renewed. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 6. Mark 6, verses 30 through 32. Mark 6, verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while." For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they went away in the boat by themselves to a remote place. The disciples found themselves in the thick of ministry, which was, of course, right where Jesus intended for them to be. Jesus, you see, had commissioned the 12 and sent them out with authority to preach, to heal, and to cast out demons. So here in our passage today, we've met up with them at the conclusion of their ministry tour, and we see them reporting to Jesus. But notice, the ministry is not over. Mark tells us that many people were coming and going, so much so that Jesus and his apostles, they didn't even have time to eat. But look at what the Lord did for his apostles. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while." Jesus invited his disciples to a retreat for some rest and relaxation. Now, if we were to read the rest of the story this morning, which we're not going to, but if we were to read it, we would find out that things didn't work out exactly as planned because the crowds learned their whereabouts and followed them there. So they still didn't catch a break. But the point for us here today is this: the Lord invited his workers to take time to rest, refresh, and renew. That's like R&R, isn't it? Rest, refresh, and renew. It's an important point that we ought not to skip here today. There is a time in our walk with the Lord when we are going to need to rest in order to be refreshed and renewed. This is true for individuals. It can even be true for churches. I heard a pastor speak about this once. Serving the Lord in a denomination that regularly moved its pastors around to different churches every so many years, this man had shepherded many congregations over the course of his career. Some of these churches were churches that had very effective ministries, ministries to teens, to children, to college and career age, to parents, to mothers of preschoolers, to parents of teens, to empty nesters, to seniors, to single parents, to widows, to widowers, to addicts. The list went on and on, all the ministries that some of these churches had. And these were all very good and even necessary ministries. But the workers were running on empty all week long, working, 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 not even realizing that they were in desperate need of renewal themselves. There were times when, upon coming to a new congregation, this pastor found it necessary to suspend for a season all but the most necessary and essential ministries in such a busy church so that people could rest and be renewed for a season. He said, "I told people, you need to sit and be fed for a season. You need to be fed on God's word so that you can be renewed to do God's work." It was important. Now, what he said about being fed brings up a very good point that I want you to take to heart today. The invitation to R&R that Jesus gave the 12 was not an invitation to take a holiday from the Lord. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, you guys, you've been hitting it pretty hard. Why don't you take some time off for yourselves and meet me back here in a couple weeks?" No, look at the invite that the Lord gave to his workers. He said, "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while." Notice, he said, "Come." This means he was inviting them to come spend time with him. The Lord knows that his people will need times of renewal and rest, but he says to them, come. It's never the case that we are to take some time off to forget about Christ for a while. Just the opposite. We will need to spend some time, some concentrated time with the Lord if we are to be renewed for continued service. The time spent resting will need to be a time spent listening. How do we listen? We spend time with the Lord and his word. We ask him questions. We pray. We meditate on what we are learning in his word. We attend church and we worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We make every effort to sit attentively under the clear teaching of Christ's word. That's how we get fed. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if someone were to say, Pastor, we've been sitting for a pretty good stretch these last 3 years. We need to get busy, not sit some more. Now, if you happen to be thinking that, let me say I can understand where you're coming from. But I think I may have a couple other things for you to consider. The first is this. You yourself may have been sitting, but I can say with certainty that there are probably more than a few of your brothers and sisters here today who haven't had many opportunities to sit and be fed in the last few years. You know, keeping a church on course can be hard enough when you have a pastor at the helm, let alone when you're doing it week in, week out, without, right? There's probably at least a few folks here today that are in desperate need of some rest and renewal, and they're needing fed. The second is that it's very difficult for sheep to be getting fed like they need to be fed when there's a different visiting pastor, visiting shepherd in the pulpit every week. I know it can be kind of fun for the first few weeks at least, but that wears off after a while. Visiting shepherds don't know the flock, so they can't even preach how a pastor needs to be able to preach, which means the sheep aren't always getting meals tailored to their nutritional needs. Even this last year with your previous shepherd, you didn't have enough time to grow together to the extent that he could intimately learn the flock, learn the spiritual needs so that they could be fed accordingly. The time just wasn't there. All of this is to say, there's a great possibility that even if you yourself haven't been run ragged with ministry, you might nevertheless be needing some rest and renewal centered on the time of being fed in God's word. And this is very important. There is a time for being renewed through communing with the Lord centered on being fed in his word. Now, here's some practical advice, or the preacher's 2 cents for what it's worth, and it might not be worth much. But when you call the pastor that the Lord is bringing you, understand, he might be coming to you feeling very excited with big ideas for ministries and programs. He might be feeling like he really needs to hit the ground running, and he might be busting full of zeal, might start ramping up the busyness of ministry. And these, of course, are not bad things. These are great things that are to be encouraged. But I'd advise you to take quick stock of yourselves, and if you think it good, don't be afraid to gently tell him, Pastor, we love you and we believe in the Lord's call on your life. We are looking forward to diving into ministry with you. But we need a season to get to know you and for you to get to know us. We need a season to sit and be fed a regular diet from God's word so that we can be refreshed and renewed. Matter of fact, if you happen to see any wisdom in this, it might not be a bad idea to share these thoughts right up front in the interview process. If he's got some wisdom, he'll not only respect the notion, he'll deeply appreciate and welcome it. So there is a time to be renewed in our walk with the Lord, but the next point I want to make is at least as important as the first, and that is that there is a time to be consecrated. Consecrated, what does it mean? Consecrated means made or declared sacred, dedicated or devoted to the service of God. I'd like us to take a look at a passage of scripture that Paul wrote to a young pastor named Timothy. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 21. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes, "Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. Avoid irreverent and empty speech, since those who engage in it will produce even more godlessness. And their teaching will spread like gangrene. Hymenaeus and Philetus are among them. They have departed from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and are ruining the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, bearing this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord turn away from wickedness. Now, in the large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also those of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. So if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now, Paul was giving personalized instruction to Timothy, whom he counted to be his own son in the faith. But just because it was written to Pastor Timothy doesn't mean it doesn't hold personal application for us here today. Paul emphasized the need for Timothy to be diligent when it came to his walk, his words, his witness, and his work as a servant of the Lord. All of these things would rest on a solid foundation of faith that bears an inscription that emphasizes a God component and an us component. Look at this, reading those words again. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, bearing this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord turn away from wickedness. The God component of this is that all of the Lord's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And if we are in Christ, then we partake of these promises. If we are in Christ through faithful allegiance to Christ, then we are known by the Lord. We belong to him. He knows who belongs to him. And what a wonderful thing this is, to be known by the Lord and to belong to him. That is the God component of this foundation of faith. But let's not ignore the us component that's written about here. The us component of the firm foundation of faith. If we belong to him and are known by him, then let us who call upon his name turn away from wickedness. That's what the last third of this passage that we read is all about. It's about us turning away from wickedness so that we will be useful vessels for the master's use. If you've placed your confident trust, your faithful allegiance in the Lord Jesus and his finished redemptive work, then you, my friend, are part of the house of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit has something to tell us about our place of service in God's household. The Lord has a large house with a lot of vessels in it. The vessels, that's us. Some vessels are special, gold and silver, for very honorable service to the Lord. Some are not so fine, wood or clay, and get used in ways that aren't nearly so special. Here's the really interesting thing in the passage. What kind of vessel you are depends entirely on you. Do you desire to be used in very special ways in the service of the Lord? Do you desire to be a vessel used for honorable service in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God? Well, the scripture tells you how this happens. It says, so if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument set apart, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Isn't that a remarkable thing? I'm going to be quick to remind you that God's economy works just opposite of the world's. Honorable service in the kingdom of God might not look the way that your flesh imagines it will look. Remember, Jesus said that to be the greatest in his kingdom is nothing at all like the way greatness plays out in the kingdom of the world. Being the greatest in Christ's kingdom involves selfless sacrifice for others. It involves being the servant of others. That is what gold and silver service in Christ's kingdom looks like. So don't walk away with some fleshly notion about honorable service, meaning that you get to ride while others walk and you get served while others labor. That's not what gold and silver service in the house of the Lord is about on any day of the week. But if you have a straight idea about what service in Christ's kingdom looks like, and you think that you'd like to make the most of your time in the household of faith, That is, you would like to be a vessel of honor for special service instead of a vessel of dishonor, then this is what has to happen. You must purify yourself from anything dishonorable. The word purify here literally means clean out. Paul uses this word in 1 Corinthians 5:7, where he tells the Corinthian church to clean out the old leaven. This, of course, is a reference to the instructions given to the ancient Israelites who, regarding preparing for the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were to literally go all through their dwellings looking for leaven, looking for yeast in their homes, and they had to remove it in preparation for the feast. Well, guess who our Passover is? 1 Corinthians tells us our Passover is Jesus Christ. And we are to keep that feast spiritually by cleaning out, not yeast from our homes, but anything dishonorable from our lives. If we, notice the emphasis on who is to do what, if we purify, clean out ourselves, then we will be special instruments set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now, don't misunderstand. This is not works salvation that I'm talking about here. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ's finished work, and that alone. We're not saved by our own works. This is not a salvation issue, brothers and sisters. Let me be clear on that. But this is a service issue. In the house of the Lord, what kind of vessel do you want to be? Do you want to be special, set apart, useful to the Lord, prepared for every good task he has for you? If so, you simply must clean out, purify yourself, get rid of anything dishonorable. Where do I start, Pastor? The Holy Spirit will tell you that. And most likely, he won't lay it all on you all at once either. He'll impress upon you about things that you know need cleaned out. And after you get down to obedience and you get that done, you'll go along for a while. And it might even be long enough that you'll even maybe begin to start feeling a little bit pretty good about yourself and what you've accomplished. And you get ready, because then he'll bring you into a circumstance that makes you suddenly aware that there is simply more work to be done. Time to clean out again. There is a time to clean out, or as I said earlier, to consecrate. And I'd like to suggest that this is, in fact, the perfect time to do it. As a church, well, you may feel like you're in a bit of a waiting place, waiting for a pastor, waiting for a ministry, waiting for direction, waiting, waiting, waiting. Well, don't waste precious time just waiting. Get some cleaning out and consecrating done while you wait. I can think of times over the years when my wife, when we were sitting in the car waiting on someone, she'd get a wipe out of the diaper bag. That's back when the kids were little, of course, and we gave up carrying that diaper bag a long time ago, praise God. But she'd get a wipe out and she'd start wiping things off in the car. She'd wipe the dash, she'd wipe the radio, she'd clean the instrument cluster, just cleaning up in the minutes that she had while she was sitting there waiting. You know, it would have been real easy to look at the dust and grime on the car interior and to say, I'll have to carve out some time some Saturday coming up and give this car a thorough cleaning. But why make an appointment for a future day when we can begin to clean up and clean out something right now? We don't need to waste any time while we're waiting for a pastor, waiting for a program, waiting for a ministry to do what we know the Lord wants us to do right now. Clean it up. And prepare yourself to be useful to the master today. This is the right time, a perfectly good time, to consecrate yourself to his service. Now, speaking of a right and perfectly good time, that brings me to the last point I'd like to make today. Today is the right and perfectly good time to be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 tells us, for he says, at an acceptable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Why preach salvation in a church, preacher? I'll tell you. Because it's entirely possible to be a faithful churchgoer and to not be in a saved relationship with the Lord. And that might sound strange to some of you, but I promise it's not a strange thing at all. Many a pew seat has been warmed for decades by the unregenerate caboose. Even in the days of Jesus' ministry before the cross, there were many who followed that nonetheless never trusted and embraced him as Lord and Savior. And there have been folks that have done that sort of thing ever since the cross. And that might be you here today, for all I know. I hope by God's grace that won't be you when you leave here today. And the Lord doesn't want that for you either. The scripture says that God wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, that he is patient with you, not wanting you to perish, but instead to come to repentance, and that his grace, that is his generous free gift, has appeared with saving power for all people. Yes, that includes you. The Bible tells us that God was reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ, not counting their sins against them. And now through his good news and through his word and through the preacher, the Holy Spirit is appealing to you on Christ's behalf in light of what Christ Jesus has done to reconcile you to God. Be reconciled. I'll tell you what, today is the perfect time for that, if it hasn't happened for you yet. Today's the day. You can be reconciled to the living God right here today. And it's all because God, through Christ, has done everything that needed to be done for you to be reconciled to him. Talking about perfect times, I'll tell you about another one. The Bible says that when the time came to completion, that means at the perfect time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. That means that at the perfect time, God sent his own son, Jesus, to redeem his people. Redeem, it's a word that means to buy back out of slavery. Jesus redeemed by buying back, by paying the price. And what was that price? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Simple as that, friends. You sin, you die. And all have sinned. Who has sinned? We all have. Therefore, we all die, separated from the light and life of the living God. That's the price, death, separation from God. And that's the price Jesus paid. Jesus lived a sinless life and died in our place so that we could be redeemed, bought back from slavery to sin and its awful payday. The Bible says that God made him who knew no sin. That's Jesus that he's talking about there. To be a sin offering for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Because of God's love for humanity demonstrated through Christ's sacrifice for us, we have an act two to follow the act one. What was act one? Act one was this: the wages of sin is death. That's grim news and a tough act to follow. But happily, the grace of God is greater than all our sin and brings good news because he has written an act two for you, my friend. Act 2 says, yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life. No more separation from the light and life of the living God. No more fearful condemnation. Instead, acceptance in the Beloved One. The Beloved One, that again is Jesus. And adoption into the family of God as sons and daughters. Can you think of a better time than today for that to happen for you, if it hasn't happened already? The Holy Spirit couldn't think of a better time. That's why he says, see, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. And again, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day. I can almost hear someone say, I do want it. How do I get in on this? If you're the one wondering, you wouldn't be the first. Others before you have wondered the same. And gladly, the Holy Spirit, through God's word, provides the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Believe means to trust on, rely on, place your allegiance in. Did God send his son to die for your sins? And right now, you hear your heart saying, yes, I believe he did. Did God provide proof and evidence of what he did to redeem you? Again, he did. It's called the resurrection. Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. Now, do you find yourself believing it? Do not turn that off or shut that out. God's word says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That, my friend, is how you get in. Place your confident trust in what God has done through Jesus Christ to reconcile you to himself and confess Jesus as Lord. You will be saved. Those are God's words. Those are not mine. If that's you right now in this moment, don't walk away today without confessing Jesus as Lord and entering into the eternal life that Christ bought for you with his blood. Amen. You possibly will never again be nearer than you are right now in this moment. Don't put it off. Be reconciled to God. Do it today. And if you have been reconciled through faith in Christ Jesus, then it's time to start learning and growing and discovering God's will for you in living a consecrated life so that you are useful to the Master, prepared for every good work which he has prepared ahead of time for us to do. Perhaps you've fallen into the waiting trap, waiting to feed on God's word, waiting to get serious about living a consecrated life. Oh, there will be times of waiting in our Christian life, to be sure. But we can take those times of waiting and we can be doing while we wait. Blessed is that servant whom the master finds doing his job when he comes. Matthew 24:46. Turn the waiting time into a time for renewal and consecration so that when the waiting time is over, and it will be, you will be ready for useful service. And who knows? Maybe you're here today and you've even been waiting to finally trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. The time for that kind of waiting is over, long over. Today is the time to be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. There is a time to be renewed, a time to be consecrated, and a time to be saved. Why not today? Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for what we can learn from your word. Even in the times of being in the waiting place, there are things that we can be doing. We need to be feeding on your word. We need to be submitting ourselves in obedience to your revealed will, consecrating ourselves, preparing ourselves to be useful vessels for every good work that you have prepared for us. And Father, we don't want to miss any of those. We don't want to leave any of that on the table. We want to pick all of that up and be useful servants to you in the household of faith. We thank you for the sure foundation that has been laid in the teaching of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ, our sure and tested cornerstone. We thank you for that God component and that us component inscribed upon that foundation. You know who belongs to you. And let those who call upon your name turn away from wickedness. Let them consecrate themselves to be useful servants in your household. Oh, Father, we thank you that it's by your grace that we can enter into these things that you've prepared for us because of Jesus Christ and his perfect finished work. We can be called sons and daughters through faith in him. Father, I pray that if there's only one here today who has not entered into that saving relationship, and even now they are hearing your spirit speak to them. Yes, they believe it. They know it's true. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was raised the third day according to the scriptures. They know it. And now it's time to place their trust in what Christ has done. Father, I pray that your spirit would not let your word return void. It never does. It always accomplishes what you have purposed for it. We pray that that one today would hear the good news and would enter in to the household of faith. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. I'll invite you now to take your hymnals. We have a closing hymn. Somebody shout out that number. I lost my bulletin. Thank you. 390. Good man. Would you stand together with me as we sing? Number 390.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. There is only one God, there is only one King, there is only one body, that is why we can sing. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love.
You might be here today feeling like, you know, we kind of need to be bound together a little bit. And I would suggest to you, there's a perfect time for that. Right now, y'all need to bind together, come close to each other, and you do that by being fed on the word, times of rest and renewal, and of course, consecration. And of course, if you're on the outside of the fence, if you haven't entered in through the door, Jesus Christ, well, you can't be bound together in this until you get inside. It's time to do that. Get saved, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, confess him as Lord, and enter in and get bound together with the body of Christ. It really is that important for that to happen today. Now, it's my privilege to say, may the grace and peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Spirit, which he has freely given to all who call upon his name through faith in Jesus Christ, be with you all today, this week, and forever. Amen.
Amen.